Thank you for joining us on the Children's Church of Christ podcast. We're glad you're here, and we hope that this message speaks to you in a way that helps you walk and live in community with God and in His kingdom this week. God bless you in your journey.
Watch that and watch the reaction of the kids. Really good job on the video, honestly, because it shows really good stuff about what we're going to talk about today. It's already on. It's already ready to go. Look at that. All right. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 9. We're going to stay right here in Acts chapter 9. We're not going to venture very far off of it. We have to do some little things before that. But we're going to stay here. If you've read it, awesome. If you haven't read it, you can read it while I talk. If you want to wait till after I talk and then you read it later, that's fine. I'm happy all around. So if you've read it, that's awesome. We're going to talk today about trusting Jesus. I think that the way we trust Jesus is extremely important. And in the way that we look towards that is it's vital to our faith and to what we do. Today, in Acts chapter 9, as we look at it, I want to talk about something in the restaurant world or management of restaurants or whatever, however you want to talk about it. There's a phrase called mise en place. And if you're familiar with the phrase mise en place, it's a French phrase. And what it is like when you watch a cooking show and you see someone's about to make something, and what they do is they have like the 2 cloves of garlic already minced for you, and they've got it like in a little jar or in a little like ramekin, and then they've got the chili powder that they need, and they've already measured it out. And the reason why we have all of that set up that way is so whenever it's time to cook, you're not over-searing your steak. You've got time to put your garlic in, right? It's already ready for you. You're not over there trying to mince an onion whenever you're trying to cook something else. So it's all prepared. We call it a setup. Some people, if you look it up, it'll say like an introduction to the meal. But basically, it's to have everything ready. When you see restaurants, they have them all set up, and people spend the time getting all of the prep stuff prepared so you can just cook. What we have to do in this time, as we look into Acts 9, I think is look at the setup. There's a big setup that's going on. And as you start to see and start to read in Acts chapter 9, we have a man by the name of Saul. Going back to Acts chapter 7, we saw Saul at the stoning of Stephen. He was there in approval. He was there listening and watching, hearing everything that Stephen had to say. And he approved of his murder. He approved of them killing him. He was there holding the coats, and that can go into a whole nother talk. We're not going to get into any of that. We're also going to know that as you think about the life of Saul and later on as Paul, like they said, there's a ton of stuff that was involved. We have the majority of all the letters written by him. He was a very important person in the kingdom of God. But I think if we talk to him specifically right now, he would tell us we need to keep our focus and our eyes on Jesus. I do think that it's the most important part of this entire scenario, the entire sermon, the entire thought. And I do think that as we see how Saul was involved in all of it, it's a big deal. So Saul is there. He speaks to the high priest. If you look at him and you saw Saul, I think you would see that he was a really important person. He did all the things correctly. Right, he followed the rules right. He did. He went to the right school. He had the right background. He had all of the things in order to where you would sit there and say, "I need to listen to this guy." One thing that Saul was Saul was convinced that he was right. He spoke to the high priest, received orders from the high priest to go and literally had an arrest warrants in his hand, given to him by the high priest. He was a big deal. And he was going after the people. And the moment that Stephen was murdered by stoning, they went and went after everybody. at that moment. We see that the church dispersed, and you get into the whole idea of you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, gets going here from Jerusalem and beyond. So we've got a lot of stuff happening, right? And a lot of things that are taking place while Saul is getting this going. It's not night and day different. It's probably been enough time to where you see him receive an order from the high priest to go into Damascus where he knows that the people are at. So he's going towards Damascus, okay, with warrant in hand to bring people back to Jerusalem or believers of Jesus back to Jerusalem. And as he sits there and he does those things, he's walking and he's probably getting pretty close to Damascus by this time. Got his group with him that's going to help arrest all these people. Kind of almost like, I don't want to say he's starting a war, but like he's going after them. Like he doesn't have good intentions. And the people that are with him are on the same boat as him. They're on the same thought process, I should say. And as they go, Saul encounters Jesus. And we have the voice from heaven and the light flash down and it says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He doesn't say, why are you persecuting the believers? He doesn't say, why are you persecuting Stephen? He doesn't say, why are you persecuting them? He says, why do you persecute me? And then that response from Saul goes, who are you, Lord? Knowing that voice from heaven, that life from heaven, he knew it had to have been a Lord. He knew it had to have been the Lord. And he says, I'm Jesus, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the great I am. The one that he was going after. The people he was trying to kill. The people he was trying to convict. The people he was trying to condemn. But something really cool happens. Saul trusts Jesus. The people that he was with got him up. Realize that he was blind, and they take him the rest of the way to Damascus, and they take him into a room, and he stays there for 3 days. He doesn't eat anything. He doesn't drink anything. He's just sitting in that room, probably wrestling with God, trying to figure out what in the world just happened to him. But in it, he still trusts Jesus. Saul was blinded by the light. He was blinded by Jesus. I don't know about you, but if I don't have my glasses or contacts in, like I can't read the big E, right? I can't see really well without some sort of prescription in my eyes. It wasn't like this. But even in my limited ability to be able to see without my glasses on, I get a little uncomfortable, right? My son, he can't see well. We don't even know how much he can see, but that's not the point. But I want to kind of say, how do we see? How are we looking into the world? And I know a lot of times with Noah, he'll like put his hands around and he'll try to find his way. And what he's looking for is different than what I see. Does that make sense? Like he's looking and he's finding love. He's finding, do I trust this person? Is that mom's hand? Is that dad's hand? Is it someone that I care about's hand? And no offense to anybody, but sometimes it kind of just pushes us away, right? He's like, I don't want that, right? Or sometimes he's like, yes, I want more, right? And I think sometimes whenever I think about what I see and knowing that Saul at that moment was pretty convinced that he was right on, God taught him how to see new. God taught him a new way to see. And I think sometimes whenever I start thinking about what I see physically, I probably miss quite a bit of what I truly do need to see. And sometimes I feel like I probably should see a little bit more like Noah than I do with my physical eyes. Another person in this story is a guy by the name of Ananias. And Ananias is there. And as Ananias is preaching and teaching in Damascus, he hears the voice from Jesus as well. And he goes, I want you to go to talk to this guy from Tarsus named Saul. He's on this specific street, and he's in this specific room. Just go up there and tell him that Jesus sent you. He's waiting for you. I've talked to him already. And he was like, whoa. isn't this the guy that we've been praying to keep us safe against? That he's after us, and he's got a decree to arrest us and send us back to Jerusalem and probably kill us? Kind of scary, right? Not kind of, it real scary. But guess what Ananias does? He trusts Jesus. He trusts Jesus to go where he says. And it's kind of neat inside the text. I love that it says, go. Jesus doesn't say, well, you should go. He says, go. And we kind of see that in Matthew chapter 28 as well. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? He's like, go. It's not an option, but he trusts him. He trusts him to go where he needs to go. Then, while he arrives at the place, he says, hey, Saul, Jesus sent me so that you can see again and you can receive the Holy Spirit. And he sees. It's like scales coming off of his eyes that it says inside the text. Immediately, he goes and gets baptized, and he eats and he drinks and he starts to preach. And as he goes to all the places preaching and teaching, he's telling them about the good news of Jesus Christ. Telling them about how wonderful and amazing this man is. What he is able to do in the life of Saul, what he's able to do in the life of Ananias, what he's able to do in you, and what he's able to do in me is literally amazing. And guys, what I want us to do is I want us to focus a little bit on what it means to trust Jesus. And trusting Jesus, I want you to know in that trust, what we see is that God's kingdom will fill you up. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords let Saul know that it was time. He was convinced that he was right. And he had learned in all the perfect places and knew all of the right things. And he had it all figured out. And literally, if you looked at the life of Saul from before that moment, you saw a man that we needed to respect. But when you encounter Jesus, when he came face to face with Jesus, he realized that I have got to put my trust in him. All of the education that I had, all of the things that I had learned, all the places, all the Gamaliels that we'll read about later, all of this stuff that I figured out way before this time is done. Once I see Jesus, it's let's go. And guys, we see the grace of God in this as well. And that grace that surpasses all things that we could ever, the matchless grace, the infinite grace, the grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. He's there, and he says, God's with you, and God is in you. And what he shows us with that same grace, that trust, he says, everywhere you go, I'm with you. And I kind of want to switch gears a little bit. And the way that I want to switch gears with you right now is I want you to kind of think, and you don't have to do it right now, but I want you to spend some time thinking about this. Watch your life. Just kind of reflect for just 1 second. And look at where God has brought you up until right now. And this might take some time. This might take lots of time. And I want you to know that whenever I do one of these lessons, please understand that I'm working on me, right? Like this is me kind of wrestling with God in some of this stuff where I'm trying to figure out what in the world is God trying to say to me. And how in the world can I share that with you? And it does me good. Like I was telling somebody the other day, man, it just makes me like this has been a great, great soul heart thing for me to be able to sit there and look at how God's working in the life of these people and how the Spirit is moving and how it's just amazing and how powerful the Spirit is. But I want you to kind of think about yourself. Okay. Watch as God has brought you to where you are right now. How he's worked in really good things and some really bad things too. Some hardships, some difficult moments, some wonderful moments. But if you look back, I'd be willing to bet that you can see God's grace through every single bit of it. Even in the bad stuff. Even when it wasn't comfortable. Even when it hurt. And it brings me into a new thought. And that thought is, I didn't do that well. Sorry, I'm not good at this. The way God acts in your life is that accomplishment that he does inside every single aspect of what you do. And we come into Romans chapter 12 and he says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, I want you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices that are holy and pleasing to God. And this is your spiritual act of worship. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but you go with Jesus. Go with God. And what he does is that's that amazing grace that I can see even when my times are good or my times are bad, God is right there with me through the whole entire thing. And we're going to hear Saul talk later on, and he's going to go into great detail about all the ways that he's been able to see God's hand throughout his life and how those times where he studied with Gamaliel were important and how those lashings that he's going to receive later on were important and how it all just kind of falls into place. And that's that amazingness of God. Even whenever we don't know exactly what's happening, God is right there with us. Even when we think we've got it all figured out, God is right there with us. And even whenever it's hard and when it's difficult and it's not fun, God is right there with us. And that is so amazing. It's so powerful. Something that we cannot fathom in my mind. I sit there and I try to figure out, when I'm sitting there trying to figure out what in the world would God have any reason to try to be in this situation with me. But he says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Even when it's disgusting. And Paul later on tells us in Romans, do we go on sinning so that grace may increase? So that we can show off how powerful God is? No, by no means. He says what you do is you start living your life knowing that grace is covering you. And what you do is you see your life moving with God in every single thing that you do. And God's accomplishing wonderful things inside of us. And we go, how in the world can he accomplish these wonderful things inside little old me? And again, we look back at our lives and we see where God just kind of leads his way in through every single thing that I've done. And even in those hard moments, even in those scary moments, I see God's hand going, Jacob, I'm right with you. I'm going with you. And sometimes we see that if I just trust God, everything's going to be okay. We were living in Mexico City, and I'm sure I've told you guys this a million times, but I'll say it again just because I feel like it's neat. We came here. Noah was probably just born. We were probably showing him off to his grandparents, literally. And we had all these meetings and all these talks with people, and we were like, man, we're loving being in Mexico City, right? We see ourselves being here for the rest of our lives, right? We see ourselves doing these wonderful things, and kind of like Saul, I was convinced that I was right, right? I was convinced that I was doing exactly what I needed to do, and I don't doubt that I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. Like, I don't doubt that at all. But if you trust God, you trust Jesus, he sometimes will take you to another place. And he brought us here, right? He brought you here. And as you trust Jesus, and as you understand what Jesus wants to do with you, you're able to see that infinite grace, that wonderful grace that you and I are able to trust in always. Saul was stuck in a moment where he was kind of, it was weird. And all of this stuff that we're going to see taking place after this, it's all big. Saul is used by God in a huge and amazing way. But I want you to know that it's about Jesus. And he uses Saul. And that's where his trust is at. I also want you to know that whenever you follow God, everything that you do might not be Saul big. And that's okay. It's that grace taking us through every single step of our journey. Even in the ugly parts. Even in the restricted zones. And now, think about that for just a second. If God's everywhere with me, how's that going to change how I act in everywhere situations? Right? Do I keep on showing off so that God's grace increases? No. Right? We say, God, here I am. Use me. And just like we have with a meal, and you prep it, and you've got your mise en place all set up, after it's done, you've got this beautiful meal, and we say, bon appetit. Right? Let's you and I feast with God. Let's you and I enjoy this wonderful grace that we get to trust in Jesus about, and we can understand the wonderful things that he can do in us and in our life. And we get to enjoy this life, knowing that God's grace is going to be with me. And if he can change Saul, he can change me. If he can change Ananias, he can change me. If he can change me, he can change you. If he can change you, he can change the world. And the list goes on and on and on. Let God do those amazing, wonderful things in you. And we'll see that the Spirit added to the numbers daily because of this. And Saul started preaching, and everybody was like, whoa, 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 wasn't this the guy that was trying to kill us earlier? And we'll get into that later. But that's, yes. But he was transformed by Jesus Christ. And this wasn't something that happened from, the transformation was continual and gradual. And like he learned, and he became a disciple, and he was able to learn the ways of that God wanted him to know. And this, we read it in the passages, and it sounds like it was days, but it was like years. Okay, so we'll go back and see that later too. Not this immediate conversion, but later on, where he goes and spends some time in Damascus, and he goes to Jerusalem, and he goes back to Tarsus, and all of these things, and he spends lots of time in all of those places. Okay, so just know that we're going to see some really, really, really amazing things that God does. I also want you to know that with that amazingness that God does, I want you to know that same Spirit works in us. It's asking us to just trust Jesus. Even when it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, trust Jesus. He's trustworthy. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is my Savior. It's a good news. It's worth sharing. And sometimes we think to ourselves, how can I share it? And I just want you to know that you just be who Jesus wants you to be. Period. That's it. Let God and the Spirit work in you and through you. And I want you to know that he's with you and he's in you throughout it all. If you've got any need whatsoever, I'd love for you to come and we can talk to you. We can pray with you. We can do whatever you need as we stand and sing. Thank you.